Good morning, the children of the Chit Chat Podcast. Welcome to episode number 4 of this.
Does that make us the parents of the Chit Chat Podcast?
Yeah. Next episode's debate discussion. This morning, we're going to be discussing what is the most effective way of helping minimum wage workers during COVID-19.
Grab your coffee and let's chit chat.
First, maybe we can start off by establishing why there is a need to help minimum wage workers more than there might be on some other economic priorities. So apparently 80% of job losses were amongst the lowest quarter of wage earners. So it's clear that they need to be helped because most of the jobs that were closed due to lockdown, they didn't have backup earnings such as investment in the stock market. So yeah, so that's just an establishment of why we need to actually help them.
And I think we can focus on Thailand specifically as well, because now we're going into lockdown and the construction workers are not getting payments from the government. And so there's been like donations from other people instead because of the government's lack of financial aid towards these construction workers. That's one way that could help.
I know in the U.S. there's this massive movement towards the $15 minimum wage. I don't know if you guys have heard or not. And it's like a lot of workers from KFC and McDonald's, they're trying to protest towards the $15 minimum wage. But if we relate back to Thailand, like a lot of, I think, even like going to school, we can see there's a lot of construction workers and things like that. But a lesser known fact, and you guys can argue with me on this because it's an opinion, but I feel like Thai construction workers.
A lesser known fact.
You got me.
Okay, sorry, continue.
But like construction workers in Thailand are lazy as hell. Like I've never seen more lazy group of people in my life, dude.
If they're lazy, they still deserve to have money to be sustained, their lifestyle, right?
I know, but like, Do you guys think they're lazy? I feel like they're lazy.
I think, yeah, because, for example, I used to live in China and they finish their construction much quicker compared to Thailand. But that's obviously because China's like an amazing everything for industry.
Are you a fan of China?
I don't think
Emily?
It's, I guess you can say that.
The thing I'm talking about with Thailand is, right, like, if you want to do a simple job that takes two people, there's going to be four people over there because you need someone to just sit down and do nothing. I was just going from a McDonald's the other day with my friend and there were like five people setting up.
You're going out. There's actually lockdown.
Bro, bro, bro. Like 2-3 months ago. Chillax. Like,
oh, okay.
I'm actually a god at
I know.
No, I meant in general. Like, you shouldn't go out during COVID, guys. Stay
this
safe.
This was a couple safe months ago, before third wave.
Yeah.
I'm a god at following KFC COVID restrictions. Trust me, like, no one can follow COVID restrictions better than me.
But that, I think you have a competitor there.
Who, I think who? I'm the competitor, guys. I haven't left my house in, like, since school closed.
Same.
But anyways, back to your topic, back to what you're arguing.
I'm just saying, like, there was five people and three of them were just sitting down. Two people were actually doing the
Are you saying that they don't deserve to be like supported by the government though? Like, what's your argument?
My argument is literally they get paid to do not much. They just sit around and I feel like paying them more just because it's an economic crisis is not the answer. I feel like if you want to support them.
It's not paying them more. It's just paying like, because now they're unemployed, they have no income to sustain their lifestyle. So
I think,
of course, they're going to need to get some unemployment benefits. But anyways, the benefits are always less than their wage.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the they should somehow find, somehow incentivize businesses to keep their workers so that they aren't unemployed and they still, like, they can get their
I think that's wage. Really hard because there's a lot of businesses closing down. So I think, of course, there's going to be workers made redundant or like businesses closing completely, like going bankrupt or whatever. So I think looking at Thailand, I think that Thailand reacted way too slowly to the COVID situation. like
I wouldn't say slowly. I would say just in a very immature way. We had a complete lockdown. Like, I don't know if you guys remember this, but this time last year, there was a lockdown when there were, what, like 10, 20 cases in the entire country, and we locked down. We couldn't go to school and things like that. And now that there's, like, what, almost 1,000 cases every single day, the restrictions now
aren't given. There's 10,000 today in Thailand, or almost 10,000.
Whoa.
Or,
yeah. So... if there's so many cases today, like, people aren't even reacting like they were before, right? So I feel like Thailand really jeopardized their situation by having a very premature lockdown. And now that a lockdown is actually needed.
But for them, I think the issue was that the earlier they locked down, like, the more jobs that would be lost at that time. So they were probably just trying to postpone and try to revive the economy without having to lock down. But like
this is a classic dilemma of public health versus economic health. It's the same
thing. What was the problem was in the beginning they actually did prioritize people's health. They put a lockdown, and that was because everywhere in the world they were doing that. But now that Europe is doing so much better,
bandwagon, and are you calling Thailand a bandwagon?
No, I'm saying that before they did well, like they prioritized health over the economy, and they waited. Like, I remember people wanted the country to open up, but the government said no because they wanted to prioritize health. But now they never expected the cases to go this high, because Thailand, like, before this, it was always, I wouldn't say low, but like relatively low compared to other countries.
Not even relatively low, like so much lower compared to other countries. Yeah, like, we were like, it almost didn't even exist.
But see, the question is, was it just reported lower or was it actually low? So we honestly can't argue that either, because a lot of people weren't being tested.
But it doesn't matter if it's reported low or actually low. What matters is that business confidence was high compared to other countries. We were like seeing, what, 10 cases a day. It didn't even exist. Like, I'm pretty sure in my building alone, there's probably 10 cases a day at this point. But business confidence was high, and as Emily was saying, no one was expecting it to go this bad, and that's the problem. Their entire job was to expect this, and it failed. And now I feel like it doesn't matter. The jobs that go to risk aren't the people that failed their job. It's the construction workers, it's the gardeners, it's like the servants at the bar.
They're all the ones that are suffering because of
COVID.
Yeah,
because someone else failed to do their job.
So the point I was making before, I was just trying to say that I think that the problem was that they didn't, they should have vaccinated much earlier, because before there was hardly any cases. So I'm saying at that time they should have took advantage of their good position that Thailand is in and started vaccinating their people, or like at least trying to get a rollout, because I know that there's like a lack of supply.
How does it tie back into the government helping
minimum
wage workers? Because I think frontline workers were vaccinated first. Anyways, Anjika, what were you saying?
I feel like Emily's suggestion of giving money directly is useful to some extent, but her thing was that they need to buy basic necessities. So what would you feel about directly providing them with those necessities, such as food?
I can give an example of Israel because I know about it. Basically, in Israel, what they did was, after people became unemployed due to COVID, they provided them with 70% of their usual salary or wage. And they also subsidized electricity, water, and other utilities, because those are necessities. So I think that there should be more government provision or like subsidies to help make basic necessities more affordable to their people. Because that's like the government's job, right? I think
the government's job is a bit more than that. Just a little bit more, like protecting its
people. The government's job is to protect the people, to make the people, like, to make sure that they can sustain their life. Like, that's a part of their job, obviously. And if they're not providing them economic well-being, then they're failing their job. Especially now, like right now, that's the main focus, right? The people and the economy.
Guys, you want to explain what minimum wage is for anyone who doesn't know?
If you don't know what minimum wage is, I recommend that you open a textbook or like just study for once in your life. Minimum wage describes the lowest possible wage you can pay a worker for an hour of labor. In the US right now, it's $7.50. And in Thailand, it's, I don't know the official minimum wage, but it's very, very, very like poorly enforced. So that's why in this category, minimum wage workers are just workers that are paid the least. So like construction workers or like cashiers, things like
that. What is with you and construction workers?
I'm just saying like...
They're lazy. He doesn't like lazy people.
I don't like people that show up late.
Why not?
And the no, but, okay.
Back to the topic.
Basically, I'm saying that money. You were saying we should give money to these people. I would like to open another.
Or just financial aid, like or
do
like
you economic think
aid, like the subsidies people, or tax cuts.
Okay, that's the thing. Do you think these people know where to spend their money? If you give, like, I'm not gonna insult anyone in Thailand, but I know that Thailand has a very like strong drinking culture and things like that. Do you think they know best to allocate the money, or the government knows best to allocate the money? Because I feel like if the government spends money, they're gonna do it properly on necessities such as education.
We're saying that the government should aid them with money.
Yeah, I'm not. I wouldn't say that. Give them
directly. Provide them with the things that they should be spending on instead of giving them money.
Yep. Like just
spend. Or like providing them basic necessities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're saying like 70% of their salary. I don't think that would work in Thailand because one, their reported salary and what they actually earn is probably going to be like very different. Like construction workers probably don't make minimum wage, just a little bit below that, because it's really poorly enforced. And secondly, I would say like the government should just subsidize in the sense that how everyone got a mask, things like that, they should vaccinate and subsidize to protect like and help minimum wage workers, obviously vaccinate them, but also like provide.
Now we can't really say much about the vaccinations just because of looking recently at how the Delta hasn't been as effective. I mean, the vaccine hasn't been effective against Delta, but for the sake of this discussion, we'll assume that it is, or that anyways, there's coming out a new booster vaccine. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think Sinovac is now three shots.
In the Dan's argument about providing food like that, is that most countries are unable to have an administrative procedure which is so efficient, because, for example, in Lebanon, they announced plans to provide food assistance, but it didn't materialize until very much later, where the families needed food. So that's the thing. So if we give them money, they could spend it in the wrong places. But if we give them food and not give them money that they've been cut out of, then they might not have enough money to buy food until the government's thing actually gets implemented.
I guess right now, though, I think minimum wage workers, like, I think they would put their money on basic necessities, because right now they're like completely lacking them because of their lack of income. So if they can't even afford their basic needs, I think that would come first, and if not, then it's kind of on them. So I think the best solution would be a financial aid to them. We can also look at some organizations that actually work towards helping these people. Like, for example, there's the Bangkok Community Help in Klong Toei. I mean, it goes towards Klong Toei. Basically, they pack care bags and they prepare them foods. They prepare them meals, and they also give them some clothes. Like, there's a clothes donation thing. So what do you guys think about that? Do you think that is effective?
Yeah, it's basically like we talked about direct provision. It avoids the whole, like, they use their money in the wrong places. And yeah.
Yeah. I think the main problem with that one is, though, it is mostly reliant on donations, and that depends on people. But I know Bangkok Community Help does reach a lot of people, and they do have a lot of donations I actually found out about them on this YouTuber named like Retired Man or something like that. And it's really good. But I actually volunteered there, and I think they actually help a lot.
You volunteered?
What was your experience?
Yeah, how did you help minimum wage workers?
No, basically, okay, if anyone doesn't know, Klung Toei is an area in Bangkok where there a lot of people have become unemployed there, and the COVID, they got COVID-19. And basically what I did for them, I was helped with the care bags section. So I went with my mom, actually, and we basically they make like a production line, and they pack rice and soap and masks and food and a bunch of stuff that those people need. And you can see photos of them, like, and they're so grateful for it. And there's other sections as well, and they do it twice. They used to do it twice a week with 20 people each time because of COVID restrictions, but now it's 5 people because of the lockdown, and they do it every day. So I think it is helpful, but now it might be a bit less because of the lockdown.
Going back to the money provision, you used Israel as an example, where I'm not sure about their government budget, but like, it's an MEDC rate, so I'm sure they have more funds to provide in that case.
I don't know if this is practical, but I think that right now we just need to focus on getting out of the situation. Like, that should be everyone's priority, because like, there's so much more at stake here. It's like people's lives, things like that. So,
So for example, Italy, they are basically, they have.
Can I just say, Italy won the Euro Cup today? Like, not when you guys are listening to this, but when we're recording. And it was a very interesting match. They won in penalties. So, like, this episode goes out to Italy.
On the sad side of Italy, their budget GDP to debt ratio is extremely high. Like, it's the highest, second highest in Europe. So what Europe is basically doing is that they're doing a joint debt in which they take like $750 billion or pounds, I don't know, but or euros. Okay, never mind. They
basically or yen. Are... Or Australian dollars. It doesn't matter. A joint group.
I think we just said they won the euros.
Okay, and basically Germany was against that because Germany itself isn't having that much of an issue, but Italy is. So there's that thing as well. So when they're trying to borrow money, they're borrowing it. They're doing joint debt for the first time. So what are your thoughts on that, where another country gets dragged into the debt of another country?
Well, actually, I'm doing an IA on Italy for economic, and they're doing this thing for COVID where they're the whole EU, they're providing some money to help recover from the COVID situation, and Italy got the highest amount. So that could help them to recover from the, it's like a joint fiscal aid.
Yo, that's some big words. But I think this topic, we're going to wrap it up just now. Thank you so much for listening to the 4th ever episode of the Chit Chat Podcast. What did we learn today? We learned that I'm a fan of construction workers. That is actually a fact. We learned that Italy has won the Euros at the time that we're recording this right now. We've learned that Emily thinks China is superior.
Most importantly, we've learned that there's a reason that none of us work in the government.
And we've also learned that dollars, pounds, yen, and baht is used in the Eurozone, according to NGP, obviously.
So thank you for listening, guys, and we will see you in our next chat.